Well, let's just pray, shall we? And then we're going to share together from God's word in a moment. Bless you, Lord. Lord, you say we can ask. As we ask according to your will, we shall receive. We bless you for your mercies and your promises, your faithfulness to your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you've given us it so that we may be wiser than we were before. Help us, Lord, to know your wisdom and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought instead of me doing all the talking to start with, we might have you to do a bit as well. Is that okay? A very short psalm, only 3 verses. Okay, we're going to say it together, are we? How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. It's a good verse or two there. I sometimes wondered about the oil poured on Aaron. It isn't the engine oil type stuff, it's this fragrant, quite nice flowing fragrance stuff. It's for anointing, that's what it's about, yeah. Okay, we're going to look at brothers dwelling together in unity, and where God sees that, he blesses. So we're going to make a look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, adapting to changing circumstances. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So that's what happened. So let's have a look at how it worked out. It's a very good thing, isn't it? In those days when the number of disciples was increasing. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It is. But life brings problems. Have you noticed that? Life brings problems or challenges, as you might call them. But I'd like to encourage you. I've got to speak to myself on this one. Do you see problems as, no, not another job? Or do you see them as opportunities for change and growth? Probably like the first one. Now, I read somewhere the other day, you are meant to think like a proton. Do you know what a proton is? It's one of those subatomic particles that dwells in the nucleus of an atom. There's the nucleus of the atom and the electrons spin around it, and the proton, and neutrons as well, but the proton is in the middle. And do you know what the proton is? It's always positive. So we've got to think like a proton when it comes to the challenges that we face. So in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. So there's a problem for you already. They complained. Are you good at complaining? Let me warn you of this. What was one of the main sins of Israel while it was in the wilderness?
Complaining.
They were complaining about eating everything. I would have liked to have been Moses. That was not much fun, I don't think, at times. Anyway, they complained. But it's not what you say, it's the way that you say it. You can complain in a nice way, did you know that?
Yes.
Well, I think they must have done that to some degree anyway, because they took it to the leaders, the apostles, rather than just taking the hook, you know, look at them rot. You know, they're neglecting our lot and they're feeding themselves. They didn't do that. They took the message, or the complaint, to the apostles. And I assume that the apostles were trying to do the job of making sure that people were helped, that the widows were provided with, you know? So that's, that the apostles are not up to the job, because it's getting too big for them. That's basically the problem, I think. So, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. Isn't that amazing? They're both Jewish, did you know that? They said they are. They're Grecian Jews and Hebraic Jews, right? So they're all Jewish and they're all living in Jerusalem. So they should be getting on great, shouldn't they? Well, do you know, this is a problem that it's so easy for people to make distinctions and divisions, isn't it? You know? And the truth is we're all different. You can form your own little club by yourself if you want, because there's nobody quite like you. But it won't be any good, of course. But here they are, the us and the them groups are forming in this group of believers. Christians are not immune from these problems, as it would seem. Anyway, there they are, united as being Jewish, believers in Jesus, and they're living in the same area, but there's the us. Some come from abroad. It says they're Grecian. So they come from a Greek background, somewhere in the Mediterranean, I guess somewhere out there. Not in the Mediterranean literally, but you know what I mean. Out there in the land surrounding the Mediterranean, and they probably speak more Greek than Hebrew, and they got a different culture, they come from a different societies where influences are there. There's not everything's wrong with other people's cultures, did you know that? That's well, they may have picked some of those things up. It's interesting, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you go to Israel, you can find virtually every type of cooking available there. There's varieties of dishes from France, from Yemen, from Iraq, all around the world, where they've gone, they've brought back their diet to them. So, this lot, they've got their own particular variations as well, the Grecian Jews, yeah? And then there's the them group. These are the Hebraic ones, they're the locals, they speak Hebrew, they've been born and brought up in what is Israel, and that's them. And they are two different groups, in theory. All believers, all part of the same family, and yet, problems, yes. And do you realize, this is Satan's opportunity to cause division and breakdown amongst the fellowship. He's still at work in that, did you know that? We have to be cautious and wise. He's a sneaky worker. He can make little things seem like mountains. And that's what's going on here, I think, as well. But anyway, that's Satan's opportunity to cause trouble. And it's all over the believers' food bank. Here they are. The Grecian Jews complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Well, the church, as it had started to grow, had members of their congregation who were vulnerable people, widows, probably some orphans around as well, I guess, but it's the widows that we're speaking about here. And the church decided, we've got to help the weak, we've got to help the vulnerable. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, their hearts reached out beyond their own needs to see the needs and the others and to try and care for them. Well, it says the widows were being overlooked, that's what they said. Was that true? Well, I think there must have been some suggestion of it, although maybe that's just how it appeared, you know. Brothers and sisters, let me offer you this as a warning. When you think there may be problems, just make sure it's not the way you see things, rather than the reality. You know? It's easy to misconstrue what someone says or does when you've got the wrong angle. Well, that's maybe what went on, I don't know, maybe it actually happened. Because things are getting so big, it's a bit of a job to make sure everything's covered. Somebody's fallen through the net, that's the thing. Do they intend to overlook the widows? No! Not in a million years, I'm sure. So anyway, that's where the problem lies. So, the 12 gathered all the apostles, the disciples together. The 12 apostles gathered all the disciples together. Come on, let's talk about it! Instead of falling out, let's talk about it. So the leaders obviously must have discussed and prayed about it first. That was their plan of action next. They prayed about it, I'm sure. Doesn't tell us that, but these are godly people. And so they gathered everybody together, at least, I don't suppose they got the thousands together, but at least representatives of the groups of people. And so they got them together so that nobody's feeling left out of this one. We're coming together to discuss what's happened. Now then, this is what they say. Our priorities have to come first. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Now how do you read that? Does that sound like a bit of a put down on the waiting on tables? If you were of a suspicious, nasty sort of mind, which you aren't, it could do. But that's not what they, that's not how they're saying it. What they're saying is, we can't handle this problem any longer because we've got other priorities. We've been called to minister God's word. That's what our job description was from Jesus. Right? We've been doing this job, and there's nothing wrong with them doing jobs to help others, but when it starts to encroach on the time that they should be spending doing what God's called them to do, then it's getting too much. Right? Waiting on tables, that's another technical term, so I'm told, for about handling the money. They would have handled the money, given it to people to sort out the food sack type of things, but waiting on tables, it's important. It's an important job. People have needs. The widows need to be cared for. God told them, look after the widows and the orphans. So it's important, but it's taking us away from our first calling. So it's not all about superiority, you know, we're the people, we're the ministers, yeah, and it's them that have got the tables to sort out. No, it's all about each of us doing what God wants us to do. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, you've got the most important job on earth. That's the way it works. Because you won't have to answer to kings and queens and prime ministers, you'll answer to the Almighty about what you did with the job he gave you to do. And they've got to say the same. So, we've got to get our priorities right. And then they say, brothers. Isn't that what I mean? It's family, you know. We're talking to family. Family, brothers. He says brothers. They say brothers, but you know, the Greek word for brothers includes sisters. Brothers and sisters. And in fact, the New International Version and several other modern versions translate the word brothers as brothers and sisters. You may have noticed that if you've come across different Bibles, yeah? Brothers, he says. And basically saying, look, we're not enemies or opponents in all of this. It's a problem we can solve together with God's help. They're thinking like protons. Yeah? It's something we can solve if we get our minds to it with the Lord's help. I'm sure there's a way around this one. Okay, so brothers, we're in it together. And they say, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. So you've got to choose, you're going to choose 7 men. It's not our job, you choose 7 men. So they're leaving it up to them to make sure they get the people that they want. So you choose 7 men who are qualified. Why do they want 7? It's a nice number, is it? Well, it's a nice number, but I think there are practical reasons. It's probably there's enough to do the job for what's necessary at the moment. If they devote their time to doing this job, it'll get done. Right, so choose 7 of them, and the qualifications are they're going to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. So they're spiritual people, that's number one. These are believers that know God's help and ministry in their lives. Yeah, and they're going to be full of wisdom. Don't we need wisdom? That means knowing what to do at the right time in the right place. So they're practical men who are competent to do the job. So you've got to choose 7 of these guys that are competent to do the job. Now, this is not a low-grade job they're going to be doing, as we've tried to make that point known already. They're doing an important job. And they are to be people who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. So they're known people who've proved their character among them already. You know, they stand out in that sense. Because somehow God has marked them out for the job, I suppose you'd say. Right. We will turn this responsibility over to them. So the apostle says, we'll give you the job instead. Right? But they call it a responsibility. We'll give them the responsibility, and they're going to trust them to do the job. Are you good at that? If you ask somebody to do something, do you then look over their shoulder all the time until they've done it?
Yeah.
Well, that's a dangerous man. I hands up myself on this one, you know. I've found quite often if you ask, I'm not talking about you lot, but if you want practical jobs, if you ask somebody to do it, you probably get it done better yourself. And quicker. But they never learn. If somebody's trying to help to get to learn something, they'll never learn if you just do it all yourself all the time. Yeah, so, anyway, they trust them to do the job. We'll hand the responsibility over to you, and then it's over to you. The responsibility means that they are now accountable to God and the people that they serve. Mm. Yeah. So that's what they're going to do. Share the load. And what job they've got, our work, we will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So that's their job description, to give their attention to prayer and minister the word. If there are practical jobs that come up, no problem, but make sure that that's your priority. Yeah. So our time-demanding work is what the Lord gave us to do, and so they're going to give themselves to prayer. Why should they pray? Because they're going to need strength, and they're going to need guidance. Right, that's important. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you've got a job to do, pray about it first. It works a lot better if you do it that way around. Yeah, rather than saying, oh Lord, I messed it up, what should I have done? Right, okay, pray about it. That's what they do, for strength and the guidance. And then he says, and for the ministry of the word. So they're going to be handing out food anyway, but a different kind. They're ministering food of the spiritual kind. Jesus said to Peter, remember, on the seaside at the Galilee, Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Well, that's what Peter's got to do. But it's not waiting on tables to feed the sheep, it's waiting on the word to feed the sheep. And it's true for all of us. I mean, we're not all called to be apostles, are we? But all of us, in some measure, are to give our attention to prayer and the word of God. Everyone's got a gift, yes. Well, they've got their gifts, and they're going to have to use them. Right? And the others are going to do their jobs. Right. Right. This proposal pleased the whole group. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you've heard the saying, you can please some people all of the time, and you can't please all of the people all of the time. Well, you can. You can. They were all happy. That's because God's at work. It's called what we call the unity of the Spirit. You know, when you pray about things and the issues are there, somehow the Spirit can guide you into a sense where, you know, we all feel this is what God wants. And when you feel that, you can be united in that. Yeah? And so God has shown them the right way forward. The proposal pleased the whole group. Wonderful. So how did they choose these guys? He says they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Well, what were they looking for in Stephen and the others, as we'll see? They're looking for godly character. Yeah? It's not how many degrees they've got. Nothing wrong with degrees. I've got a collection myself, but it's not the point. Yeah? It's not your human qualifications, it's the spiritual qualifications, first and foremost. These men are now godly people. And so, they look for godly character, man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen is mentioned as full of faith and the Holy Spirit, but it would be true of all of them. We'll see later in Acts there's a chap called Philip. Called Philip the Evangelist later on, but here is Philip turning up here. Man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That's what matters. Here's the people who are sensitive to God's leading. And they chose also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. Can you notice something about those names? It's a very generous concession by the Hebraic Jews. All of those names are Greek sounding names. They're not Hebrew sounding names at all. So they went beyond the extra mile, as it were, to make sure that the Greek widows weren't let out, so they chose the Greek guys to run the job. That's what was going on there. They chose these people to make a special effort to help the Grecian part of the family. Of course they'd be happy about that, yes, and I'm quite sure they will make sure that everybody gets cared for, yeah, but there's no way of saying, you know, we were overlooking them, because now these guys have got a special eye for them in that sense. Everybody's happy, and we're told that this chap Nicholas from Antioch, don't know much about Nicholas from Antioch, bless him, but he says he was a convert to Judaism. That means he was a Gentile. He became a Jew and he discovered Jesus. Pretty good. Isn't that wonderful? And so, he's found Israel's Messiah and he's got a job working in the church. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah? So, they're all there, seven of them. And they presented these men to the apostles. So now they pick them all, they bring them to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So, what's going on is they're setting them apart for the work that they've been called to. The apostles prayed publicly for them. Yeah, so here they are, they're marking them out in front of everybody, they're praying for them publicly. Everybody can hear them pray, I guess, as well. It's good to be prayed for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for your prayers, by the way. Yeah. All of us need to be prayed for. Yeah. So they prayed for them. And what's going on is they publicly set them apart with the responsibility for the work. Everybody knows these are the guys that have got the job to do, to care for the widows. So if you've got an issue, you go and see them. That's the ones who you can contact and talk about. You know, we've just found this dear old lady, she's come to know Jesus, she hasn't got a beam, she needs help, can you do something for us? And these guys are the guys to do it. So that's the one, set apart for the job. And the result was, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Is that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things happened. All the widows get the help they need. No more complaints, everybody's sorted. The people are joyfully united. That's a good thing. The risk of division is averted. Satan gets one in the eye. Brilliant. Yes. The people spread the word. Of course, they keep telling them about how wonderful the Lord is and what a great thing it is to be part of his family. And as a result of that, God blesses it. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commands the blessing. And of course the numbers increase rapidly. New growth. Fantastic, eh? Just one more little bit added to this section, which is interesting. There's a special group that trusts in the Lord. Special in one sense, in that they had a special calling in the people of Israel, amongst the people of Israel. But I mean, they're just ordinary believers like the rest of us in that sense. But a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. That's really lovely. Yeah? This is a very significant group in Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem was the worship center. And these priests have believed that Jesus really is the Messiah. And these guys are the guys who are involved in the sacrifices all the time. And now they realize the one big sacrifice has been made once for all. It's Jesus has laid down his life and risen again. And so they recognize the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. These are useful guys. Because not only that, they know the Bible as well. They had to. And therefore they could, I'm sure other people knew their Bibles reasonably well, but they could instruct others as well. So it's a good group to find. And it says they became obedient to the faith. Isn't that great? Do you find that interesting? Yeah. It doesn't say they believed. Which they did. Of course they believed. But they became obedient to the faith. What does it mean? They believed and they lived about. They lived it out. They lived as Jesus had told them to do. You see, you and I are meant to be obedient to the faith. Yeah? It's no good saying, I believe in Jesus, and carrying on your own sweet way. It won't wash. God won't accept that kind of life. We become obedient to the Lord. We call him Lord, it means he's in charge. And that's a good thing. I found out having the Lord in charge is better than me being in charge. Lots better. Yes. So, this special group trusts in the Lord. So, to summarize, brothers and sisters, they are adapting to changing circumstances. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they did things in a new way. Do you think that's good?
Yeah.
Are you like me? You don't like change? Well, change is good for us sometimes. Well, let me put it this way. Change is going to happen, brothers and sisters. Guaranteed, yeah? So we better get used to the idea that somehow we can make some good out of it with the Lord's help. This is the beginning. What happened here is the beginning of a ministry of people who are called deacons. You'll see them in Paul's letters later on. As the church began to form a structure, as it were, we find that there are what are called elders and there are deacons. And these are the people who got the practical jobs. Yeah? And so this is the beginning of the ministry, what we would call of the deacons, the diaconate. Yeah. They didn't need that to start with. It's that things develop, they move on, and so they adjust to that. Seven deacons. Is that the way it should be now? Every church should have seven deacons. I don't think so. I think you need as many as you need to get the jobs done.
Yeah.
That's the way I think that might be me. I might be wrong on that one, but anyway, are we open to the Spirit? I've got some practical things for us. Are we open to the Spirit's direction to do things differently sometimes? Lord willing, you know, dragging screaming and kicking into the new ways, but with the Lord's help. You know, be open to how the Lord leads, that's the thing. And then, in a group, especially large ones, people need to feel they belong and cared for. That's true whatever size the group is, isn't it, of course? People need to feel they belong and are cared for. So, I've got a question for you. Rather than say, what can they do for me? What can I do for them? Yes? What can you give to help others? Yeah. You know, I said this, and you probably heard it, if you want a friend, you've got to be one. Yeah. So, care for others. Think about other people and seek God's blessing for them. And then, also, a lesson from this section is priorities matter. They really do. Round pegs in round holes. I like the picture. How do you get that square peg into a round hole? You chip off the corners. Well, maybe that's what God does with us sometimes, to turn us into a round peg to go into a round job. Yeah, but anyway, there we are. Work with the gifts God gives. That's the way we're at, yeah. And then unity really does matter. You can sense that. When there's been tensions between people, I, as a preacher, can really sense, you know, it's like walking through custard.
Yeah.
Yeah? Not easy. Yeah? And then there's other times when the Lord's presence is there. Everything's easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, and that comes from the sense of unity. We're united in our love for Jesus, our love for each other, and wanting to make his name known. Yeah. They were all different. And that's great. Mm. That really is great. In a society that wants to break people down into groups and set one off against another, the church ought to be a shining example. We are different, but we're one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes? One together in Jesus. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Did you get that? Yes.
One.
My little joke that was, yes. Yeah. Taffy, did you get the joke? No. That's all right, mate. Yeah. So, question. Do we value others, even with our differences? We should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Other people are precious to Jesus, so they should be important to you and me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, God's blessing follows from those things. As we're open to his direction, as we seek to help others, as we value others in our unity, then God's blessing follows. It was God's plan to move them forward. This was, in spite of the devil trying to make a heyday out of it, and in spite of the grumbling and complaining that was going on, God was doing something in the background to start a development so that more people could be cared for. And it says, as a result of that, the numbers grew. Of course the numbers would have grown, because God was blessing them. Right. So, we're going to say this again, aren't we? This. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Lord, for the guidance, the instructions, and the wisdom that you gave to these people to see off what could have been a very bad problem, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom that you gave to them. And thank you, Lord, they were willing to grasp something new. Lord, guide and help us. Give us the wisdom and the grace that we need to face the different challenges in our day in which we live. Lord, help us not to be outsmarted by the enemy, but Lord, to know what it is to have the armour of God and be able to stand in whatever situation we are, because we're united and we love you. Lord, help us, we pray, in the precious name of our Saviour, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.